It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headley. We're coming to you this morning from Athens with an audience of University of Georgia students at the University of Georgia Grady School of Journalism. The city of Athens is really no stranger to tension around Confederate monuments. One particular obelisk on Broad Street dedicated to Confederate soldiers has bred controversy here for decades. But as recent events in Charlottesville have shown us, there is really no easy way to reckon with the many Confederate symbols in the South. And with me to talk about this is Valerie Babb. She's director of the Institute for African American Studies at the University of Georgia. Welcome.
Hello.
Also, Noah Johnson is co-founder of the Athens Anti-Discrimination Movement. Hi, Noah.
How you doing, Celeste?
And also with us is Blake Odd. He's editor for Flagpole Magazine. Hi there.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So let's actually start with a defense of Confederate monuments. And this is our president. Here's Donald Trump in response to not just what happened in Charlottesville, but the general call to tear down these monuments. This is what he had to say.
Was George Washington a slave owner? So will George Washington now lose his status? Are we going to take down statues to George Washington? How about Thomas Jefferson? What do you think of Thomas Jefferson? You like him? Okay, good. Are we going to take down the statue? Because he was a major slave owner. Now, are we going to take down his statue?
So, Valerie, help us put the debate in context here. Are we talking about, when we talk about the either removal or just moving Confederate monuments, are we talking about taking down everything that was, that is reflecting or honoring a slave owner?
I don't think so. I definitely remember that comment, and my initial response was, yes, let's take them down. But thinking about it, that really was hyperbolic. What I think we're talking about is rethinking what those memorials represent, because they're not really about the past. They're more about our attitudes towards race and justice today. So I think people who are calling for taking them down probably are really calling for a reevaluation of where we stand towards our history and towards what those monuments represent.
Blake, how does this discussion over that obelisk in particular go here in Athens?
I think there's a variety of opinions about it. It's really been a topic of discussion here the past few weeks. There are some people would like to leave it be. Some people who would like to move it maybe to a cemetery. Some people who would like to just take it down entirely. And some people who would like to build another monument near it. Maybe, you know, a monument honoring slaves or civil rights leaders that would sort of balance it out.
So then let me take that to you, Noah, and let's hear this comment from LeVar Stoney, who's the mayor of Richmond, Virginia. He was asked by ABC News what he wanted to do with his city's Confederate monuments.
I requested that they actually provide context to the monuments, explain them who these individuals were, how they got there, and why they were put there. And I thought these would be tools to teach and enlighten.
What do you think about that idea, Noah, which is relatively common, is to leave them where they are but put up a plaque explaining?
I think that's definitely an option. Like Blake was just saying, that's actually one of the options that the community has been talking about. But, you know, then you get into what would that be? How big would it be? You know, what, you know, how would it change the context of just the monument being there? So that would be another discussion, but it's definitely a possibility. It's definitely a possibility.
For some, I mean, there's 174. The Southern Poverty Law Center counted how many monuments or markers there are to Confederate generals or Confederate soldiers. There's 174 or 175 of them in Georgia. So, Valerie, why do some people, like Mitch Landrieu of New Orleans, says these aren't just monuments? We can't just put them in context. They are instruments of terror. What do you make of that?
I think that is very real. We learn so much about what we see about ourselves through monuments. If we see a monument erected to a certain cause, I think that if you see that every single day, you feel devalued if you are on the wrong side of that monument's cause. If you see a monument that praises your history, you feel valued because you're on the right side of that monument's cause. So I think they really do have consequence in terms of how people start to see themselves and the world that they live in.
But then how do we please everyone? In other words, that brings us back to Trump's George Washington argument, right? Like some of the people that we honor had troubled lives. They're complicated and messy.
Very complicated and messy. Even Thomas Jefferson's statue has his own quote etched at its base that says, "I tremble for my nation when I think that there is a God and he is just." So he was contextualizing his own role as a slaveholder. And I agree with Noah. I wouldn't mind seeing a bit more of that at some of these monuments. To get rid of them gets rid of history, and I think causes a certain lapse in memory to put
to
more...
To get rid of which ones? Like a Jefferson monument?
Even a Jefferson monument. To put a sign that contextualizes it there that says, this man wrote the Declaration of Independence while enslaving human beings, forces us to remember that messy, ugly history that you're talking about.
So, Blake, one of the issues that has come up over this discussion is that a lot of people don't have a very accurate grasp of history. There was a study in which they asked whether people supported the flying of the Confederate flag, for example, and those who were most in support of it knew the least about Civil War history. How does our own education and the history that we learned in high school or in college, how does that complicate this debate?
Quite a bit, I think. I mean, I grew up in a small town in Alabama, and we were taught in high school that, you know, the Civil War was not about slavery, it was about states' rights. And I think most Southerners, you know, I'm in my 30s, and so this
was... When did that change for you? When did you realize
it wasn't true? It never changed for me because my dad was a history teacher in Michigan. And so we had a lot of books about the Civil War around, so I already knew that that was not the case. But, you know, people, at least my age and older, you know, have been taught a version of the Civil War that's really not factually accurate. And that's what a lot of these memorials reflect, is this sort of lost cause mythology that dates back, you know, to the 1920s when there was a resurgence in white supremacy.
And I think Blake's point is well taken. This should probably be, the removal of monuments should probably be part of a broad-based effort that includes changing curricula in schools as well.
So let's hear from someone defending Confederate monuments. This is Pierre McGraw. He's with the Monumental Task Committee, and he's speaking here with PBS NewsHour.
I think any time that you're going to try to edit our history, you're asking for trouble. I think this is all just easy political fodder to go after these Confederate monuments. We know now that this argument is much larger than that. Having seen monuments to Christopher Columbus smashed, this is a lot larger than just the easy targets of Confederate soldiers.
Noah, how do you respond to that?
Well, basically, I think the point is missing is, you know, whenever African Americans talk about slavery and reparations and things like that, you know, it's like, you know, that's the past. You were never a slave. Why are you concerned with that? But we're talking about monuments and flags where people were never Confederate soldiers, but they can have feelings attached to that. But we can't have feelings attached to our ancestors who were flesh and blood humans. So, you know, it's just not, I don't think it's fair.
What solution do you want to see? What is your solution?
I mean, I would like to see the entire history owned. You know, there's one part of history that wants to be surfaced, but then there's another part of history that doesn't want to be discussed and wants to be covered up. If we're to move forward, you know, in an environment, especially like the one we have today, then we have to embrace diversity. We have to embrace our total history, and we have to recognize that it's both good and bad. But for us to move on, we can't keep ignoring the people who have certain feelings about certain things that's in our society and, you know, acting like they shouldn't have a voice and they're just, you know, need to forget the past. But in this case, we need to remember the past and always uplift it.
If you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Noah Johnson. He is the Athens Anti-Discrimination Movement co-founder, also Valerie Babb, UGA professor, and Flagpole editor Blake Odd. So, Blake, does it matter when this debate occurs, when people are discussing this, or when you're discussing it or writing about it, does it matter whether a monument is on public space or private space?
It matters a lot. In Georgia, we have a state law that says that you're not allowed to remove or alter a monument on public property, on state property. And our monument happens to be in the middle of Broad Street, which is a state highway. So until this law has changed, there's really, you know, all this conversation we're having about what to do with this monument is really academic. There are some Russell Edwards, a lawyer in town, has done some research into this and thinks we could maybe move it to a cemetery, that might be appropriate, but that's really up in the air and would probably involve a lawsuit.
Right, because so it's limited. Still at this point illegal to move them.
Right.
And Valerie, just trying to drill down on what we actually are talking about, does it matter if the monument is in a cemetery honoring those who've died, or if it's like the obelisk in the middle of Broad Street?
I think from time to time, perceptions of that monument have changed. So I think it does matter. Many people go by it and don't even know that it's a Confederate memorial. But once people do learn that, what is the significance? And should it be on public space? Does that somehow mean that our state is endorsing that particular history and that particular stance? And I think it does. So that for me is problematic, to have it on public space. Moving it to a cemetery gives us the opportunity, I think, to rethink what that monument might mean and to tell a broader story about that particular monument. The drawback to that, though, is that it is kind of sequestered, and we somehow have to then let people know that you can learn about this history at this particular point. So it is a complicated issue, but as Blake said, I do think that it is difficult to place a particular opinion in public space where there are so many other opinions and perceptions.
And how does that then make you feel, Noah, if something's in public space and your tax dollars are maintaining it and repairing it?
It doesn't feel good. It's like as if someone stole something from you, you know, in the process of stealing something, they happen to die, and now there's monuments right in your front yard, you know, to them and it's just, you know, you're just to forgive them. There has been no reconciliation. There has been no conversation about it, but monuments are popping up everywhere, you know, and they're symbols of some of the despair that we're going through today, some of the inequalities that's here today. You know, if you look at some of the situations we had with the bars downtown in Athens, I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with that, but it's not the people that don't recognize the monuments and that, you know, don't know what they are. It's the people that know that they're there and that stick their chests out because they're there and that keep up a certain ideology because they're there. That's where it matters at.
Is there any concern in Athens about a Charlottesville, about that monument becoming a sort of lightning rod for hateful activity?
It's been brought up. You know, certainly people are concerned that that could happen.
Especially, you know, if they talk about moving it.
We haven't had any indication that, you know, anybody is coming or that, you know, anything is, you know, going to happen here. But, you know, it could be a lightning rod if it were to be moved. I could see that happening, sure. You know, and people are talking about how to prepare for that, too, because a lot of these things that have happened, like in Charlottesville, you know, the city didn't really seem very well prepared for it, and the response was kind of pretty chaotic.
Well, they didn't expect it.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, and the police kind of stood by, and they've been criticized for, you know, not really getting involved to try to break it up. But, you know, those are things that we are talking about planning for.
So, Valerie, what do you say? And we have a number of listeners who's reached out to us saying, this is hurtful to me when you talk about moving this monument that means so much to me, that the amount of pain, emotional pain I feel is probably equal to the amount of pain someone else might feel when they see it. Like, who is it okay to hurt? What's your response to that?
I don't think it's an either or. I think we have to really honestly say, what is the history behind the term Confederate? What does that symbolize? And if you really honestly address that, you can't move away from talking about what the Confederacy wanted to uphold, the system of slavery. You can't move away from the fact of what slavery was. So my response is to accentuate both histories, honestly. And hopefully we can finally begin to reconcile the fact that we really don't want to talk about enslavement in the United States and what its legacies are, because I don't think slavery is past at all. It has been thought of as something that was over, but really it's more of a continuum. It has changed shape, but a lot of its ideas, a lot of its ideology, a lot of its practical instances are still very much part of our time today.
So, Noah, what if they were to put up a statue, every time there's a Confederate statue, what if they put up another statue of an African American who is important in history? What if they tried to make it equal?
I mean, that would be a start, and that would be closer to, you know, what we would like to see, you know, for as all the history being acknowledged. And that would be a start.
Blake, do you think it affects the character of Athens at all to have that right in the middle of Broad Street? I mean, most people drive by without realizing what it is, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people have been really surprised to learn what it is. I think, you know, when tens of thousands of people pass by there every day and don't really give it a second thought, but I don't think people are really a lot. Athens is a transient town, and so a lot of people moved here. You know, they didn't grow up here, so they don't really know the history of the town. And you know, there are a lot of other roots, kind of in the Confederacy and in white supremacy, that have been dredged up that people are really shocked to learn about, because we're perceived as being this liberal college town, but yet, you know, we've had a lot of prominent Confederates live here. You know, and their names are on buildings, their names are on streets.
Candler
Hall.
A lot
of people don't know this. Well, yeah, I mean, Cobham, Cobb Street, the Cobbs.
Yeah.
Lumpkin. Campus. Yeah, right.
Okay, well, it's a discussion, obviously, that will continue. I want to say thank you to our guest, Blake Ott, editor for Flagpole Magazine. Valerie Babb is director of the Institute for African American Studies at UGA. And Noah Johnson is co-founder of the Athens Anti-Discrimination Movement. Thanks so much to all three of you.
Thank you.
Celeste.
Thanks.